I am Sharon Holmes. Welcome to the She Shines podcast, where we are empowering you to embrace every facet of who you are, helping you to develop a beautiful balance in life and encouraging women everywhere to shine. You can follow the She Shines podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to your favorite podcast. Get in on the conversation. Join the sisterhood at facebook.com/groups/She Shines Podcast. So get ready. The She Shines Podcast starts right now. There are a lot of definitions of what a queen bee is. When I hear that phrase, it kind of takes me back to my high school days. I think of that girl, you know, the one who's the leader of the pack. And she wasn't necessarily the prettiest girl at the school, but she had so much confidence that everybody thought she really was. Well, at least most of the guys did. And I think maybe guys are kind of fickle that way. If you act like you are that, they tend to believe it. But the queen bee in high school was always the center of attention. She set the trends that other people followed. If she colored her hair, the next day, all the other girls, or cool girls, should I say, came to school with their hair that color. She usually dated somebody on the football team or the star of the basketball team, the most popular dude in the whole school, and she got invited to everything. Everybody's party, she knew she had an invite. She never had to worry about it. And even the people who hated her kind of secretly wished that they were in her circle. Yeah, that girl. That's who I think about when I hear the phrase queen bee. And then now that I'm older, it kind of makes me think of a woman who has a really dominant or controlling personality. When I hear queen bee now, it makes me think of maybe a high power woman who has a high position at work or in one of the social groups or settings that we might encounter. A woman who seems like she would look down at other women like they're her underlings who should serve her every whim, or in other words, her will be done, no questions asked, amen and good night. Somebody who's hard-nosed or doesn't care who she hurts. Mean as a junkyard dog type of woman who really doesn't care who gets in her way. If you don't roll with her, you get rolled over. That's what I think about when I think about the phrase queen bee. Does that sound familiar to you? Is that how you would describe a queen bee? I guess that's kind of my point, though. Whenever I hear the words queen bee, there's usually some sort of negative undertone to it. And then the idea that we have this pessimistic view of a woman who, quite frankly, probably has a ton of good qualities, really gets under my skin. And so I decided that I wanted to set the record straight with a little nudge, a big push from my husband to set the record straight and just really talk about what a queen bee really is and what makes her a queen. So first, let me say this. It was not my favorite topic to research, queen bees, that is, because I am terrified of bees. So I went to visit a friend in Raleigh October, and she took me to the state fair. I visited at just the right time. It was state fair time, and that's a huge time for the entire state. They bus in people from everywhere just to go to the state fair. And just like any other state fair, it had tons of vendors. They had the best smelling food, turkey legs and burgers and Mexican corn and funnel cakes. Oh my God, the funnel cakes. They were so delicious. I mean, just all kinds of food. It really was a lot of fun. So they had the run of the mill, toss the ring type games. They had, I believe, even a Ferris wheel and just everything that you think of when you think of fun. That's what was at the state fair. But the thing that I remember most was not the funnel cake, although that was a close second. The thing I remember most is that there were bees everywhere out there. I couldn't even enjoy it the way I really wanted to because, yeah, I am that afraid of bees. I'm the one who doesn't do outdoor stuff from August to November because that's bee season. So August, September, October, don't look for me to be outside doing anything. I don't do picnics, nothing like that. And if I do something, even grocery shop, I will wait until nighttime to do it because the bees are not like the freaks. They don't come out at night. So if I'm going to do something in bee season, I will wait until after dusk and then I'll go out and I can have fun then. In the daytime, car windows are always rolled up tight. I don't need to get a breeze from outside, nothing. I have the AC on every time I get in the car because I'm always afraid that a bee is going to get in my car. And if a bee gets in, I am so sorry, but I'm getting out point blank. Period. End of story. I am that afraid of bees. I hope I'm not the only one. Answer in the comments. Let me know, please, if you are afraid of bees, let me know that you are so I don't feel so bad. But anyway, there I was right there at the Raleigh State Fair. And when I came home, I was telling my husband about the trip and I was all excited. We had a really, really great time. Nix the bees at the fair. And so I was telling my husband about it. And I was telling him how the state fair went and that I could not relax because I was constantly looking because there were bees everywhere. And mid-conversation, my husband stops and goes, I wonder what makes a queen be a queen. And I'm looking at him like, you jerk. Really, I kind of had an attitude because I'm like, do you even care about the near-death experience I'm telling you about? And then at the same time, I was kind of intrigued because I guess I'm a little bit of a nerd like that. So then as this conversation went on, like this is totally normal, right? He goes, hey, maybe you could talk about that on your podcast. That would be something good to talk to ladies about. Now, I still had a little bit of an attitude because I knew he was trying to distract me. But then I was also a little mad at myself because it was kind of working. So I started thinking like, well, what does make a queen be queen? Like, why do they all serve her? And what is that all about? So I started looking up information about bees, which, again, I absolutely hate it because I hate bees. And here's the extent of my knowledge before my research, shall we call it. So I knew bees built hives. I knew they did something with pollen. I knew they made honey. And most importantly, I knew that bees could sting. And that's really all I ever needed to know about a bee up to this point in my life. But then I looked at my husband's statement kind of as a challenge, especially because he asked me the question on like two separate occasions. I guess he really thought he had hit podcast topic gold. So he kept bringing it up. And so I'm sitting there like, okay, challenge accepted, boo. Hashtag you tried it. Hashtag you gonna learn today. So there I was, and I started researching what makes a queen bee queen. Again, not my favorite topic, but it got interesting. So I found out a few things about what makes a queen bee queen, and I can pretty much sum it up to you in three key elements. Number one, what makes a queen bee queen is what she eats, or should I say what she does not eat. So all bees, I found out, are fed something called royal jelly. Every single bee gets a portion of royal jelly. It's this really special protein-rich food that bees eat. Now, what makes a queen bee different is that all the other bees get fed royal jelly and then a bunch of other stuff, additives. It makes them feel full, but it stunts their growth. It does not allow them to grow as large as a queen bee would. So they'll never grow into a queen eating all the other stuff that's been added in. Now, the queen bee only eats royal jelly, nothing else. So this makes her grow bigger than all the other bees. And then this royal jelly, what it really does, I found out, is it matures her in a different way. It gets her ready for her ultimate purpose, which I'll tell you later. So of course, you know, me being the thinker that I am, or that I like to think that I am, this made me think about myself, like, what am I filling up on? Do I, or do we eat up all the negative things that people say about us? You're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too light, you're too dark, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough. in essence, you are not enough? Or are we eating up the beauty and the wonder of who God really made us to be, which will always be more than enough? I thought about whether we feed off junk that makes us feel full, but then stunts our growth, like those worker bees. I thought about whether we are selective enough in what we allow to occupy our minds and thoughts. Are we really paying attention to what we're feeding our minds? Do we refuse to eat all the added stuff that society says is true of us and who we are? Or is what we've been eating, is it really growing us? Is it really maturing us? Is it really getting us ready for our ultimate purpose? So that's like the first element of what makes a queen be a queen. It's what she eats. It's what she does not eat. So that's something we got to pay attention to, girls. And then the second element that differentiates her is her sphere of influence. What's a sphere of influence? It's basically the area, or it's your reach. It's the amount of people that you come into contact with that you have the power to influence. Now, there is only one queen bee in a hive, so the whole hive depends on what happens to her. Now, they're not there to serve her, but she is vital to their existence. Could you imagine what it would be like for you to have that kind of influence on other people? Those people who are viewed as leaders, it's easy for us to see how much influence they have on our lives, even if we don't know them. We may not know Sarah Jakes Roberts, but I guarantee you that the arena will be full in Chicago in a couple of days to hear her because she has a large sphere of influence. But I wanted to let you know that you actually have that kind of influence. You have a sphere of influence right where you are. You are vital to somebody else's existence. The people in your life depend on you to show up and be who you are. Your hive, your family, your children, your church, your job, the organizations that you might be a part of, the people who you come in contact with every day all depend on your existence. Sometimes we get the idea that we're just replaceable. And I know where that comes from. That comes from going to jobs that don't necessarily appreciate us. And that comes from being associated with people who don't know how to appreciate us. And sometimes we feel like if I wasn't here, they'd just get somebody else and that person would do the job or that person would fill these shoes. And to a certain extent, maybe there is an amount of truth to that. But here's where I have to draw the line. Every one of us has a unique stamp that is completely our own. Nobody else can do it just the way that we do it. So you may be able to get somebody else to take my position at work. You might be able to get somebody else to do what I do at church, or my husband might, if something should happen and I die at the unforeseen age of 101, he might be able to find somebody to fill the shoes of wife, but they will not be able to do it like I did it because I have my own signature stamp that is only me. And you have your own signature stamp that is only you. Nobody else can do it quite the way you do it. It makes me feel like, you know, the poem that County Cullen wrote, "Hey, black child, do you know who you are, who you really are? Do you know you can be what you want to be if you try to be what you can be?" Yeah, I said that all with the head motions that I did when I was 9 in the Black History program in school. But yeah, adjust your crown. Know who you are, darling. Know who you are, girl. You are not replaceable. At least I know I'm not. I believe I am not replaceable because what I have in me is something that everybody else can give their 100%. It will never equal my own unique stamp. It can be great. They may be able to do a better job, but it will not be better me than me. I'm the only original of me, and you're the only original of you. So you have influence, good or bad. You have influence. Think about when we were kids and our mom used to say, "Oh, don't hang around with her. She's a bad influence," or "He's a bad influence on him." Because every person has influence, whether they are using it for good or for bad. And so my question to you becomes, How are you using your influence? Or maybe a better question is, are you using your influence? Because some of us don't intentionally use our influence. And I have to admit, I'm the first one. I have to admit that I'm working on that right now, because it is a daunting idea to accept yourself as an influencer. Sometimes it is because we lack the confidence to believe that we can really be, or that we should be, influential. Or we might feel that it's prideful or somehow wrong to influence the people around us. And we feel that influencing people is a way to control people. And none of that is true. None of that is true. Influence actually is necessary. It's what makes people listen to us. It's what makes people come to us to see what we have in us. Influence does not equal manipulation. It's simply offering your unique perspective that only you can bring to the world. Influence is not about being served. Just like that queen bee, those worker bees are not there to serve her. Influence is not about that. It's about shifting your environment in a positive way. I guess this is my best definition of influence. It's making sure that the others around you are better rather than worse because you were there. That's influence. So this brings me to my third key element, the most important difference between queen bees and worker bees. This is what really makes the queen bee a queen bee. Here's the most important factor. It is that she is the only bee in the hive that can reproduce. That's her sole function. Her true purpose is to serve as reproducer. When I read that, honey, I almost took off running. I'm like, yes, that is her superpower. She can lay eggs while the other bees can't. If she does not reproduce, the entire hive suffers. If she does not dispense what's inside of her, the whole colony is put at risk. So let me ask you, what's your superpower? What do you have inside you that needs to be deposited into someone else? Is it kindness? Maybe others can follow your lead in that. Is it how to be a lady, how to carry yourself, something as simple as etiquette, sitting with your legs crossed, chewing with your mouth closed, for God's sakes? That needs to be reproduced in our culture, in our society. Is it being an example of how to respect yourself? Now more than ever, our younger girls need to see us respecting ourselves, because when we respect ourselves, we don't have to say a word. It automatically demands respect from the people around us. I found this out a few years ago, and I like to take this with me and dispense it everywhere I go, is that people will not respect you any more than you respect yourself. If you don't respect yourself, they will pick up on it in a minute, and they will treat you just the way you treat yourself. Is your superpower strength and fortitude? Is it not giving up when you hit adversity? Somebody is on the verge of giving up right now, today, and they need you to plant seeds of stick-to-itness in their lives. They need to see you doing what you're doing, even when it's not easy. That gives them courage to do that. That's reproducing strength. That's reproducing fortitude. Maybe your superpower is nonstop positivity. That's who you are all day long. That's what you do. Do you know somebody is waiting to have you lay that golden egg in their basket? They need your positive perspective on what they're doing. So what is that thing that you reproduce everywhere you go? Just like the queen bee, whatever you deposit is your superpower. Now, I know I can't name all the qualities that you have inside of you or all the things that make women wonderful, so you got to help me out. Comment and let us know what your superpower is. Let us know what it is that you reproduce everywhere you go. Let us know what you plant every place that you go. It's not enough just to think it. You need to say it out loud. You need to let it be known out loud. Why? Because only the seeds that get sown produce a harvest. So when you go to that comment box and you type in what it is that you do, what it is that you produce, what it is that you deposit as a queen bee in your sphere of influence, then that automatically takes root in somebody else. You don't know who's going to read your comment. You don't know who's going to see that comment 3 months down the line and think, yes, I need that. I need to work on that. You don't even know how that's going to build you up when you're actually able to admit, this is me. This is who I am. And I do this pretty good. No, it's not pride. It's just acknowledging who you are and what you were placed on this planet to do, what you were meant to reproduce in this earth, what you were meant to show other people how to do. So there you have it, folks. That's my take on the queen bee. You know, I kind of redefined it a little bit. And I think really that all of us have a little queen bee in us. So adjust that crown, girl, and go and fly. You have been listening to the She Shines podcast, where we are empowering you to embrace every facet of who you are, helping you to develop a beautiful balance in life, and encouraging women everywhere to shine. If you are a woman who shines and you want to see someone else shine too, join the sisterhood at facebook.com/groups/SheShinesPodcast, and you can share the shine. To get instant updates on our podcast, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play Music, YouTube, or Spotify. I'm your host, Sharon Holmes. Until next time, shine on.